What a thrill today to be at Mount Calvary. We're going to preach for 15, 17 minutes here this morning. We're going to get you started. Last Sunday I was so moved with Brother Rich in the way that God had just simply moved in His Spirit upon Rich to share with us, and to basically, I felt, share from the heart. And I've known Brother Rich for a long time. Never seen him feel so comfortable. And I got a chance to chat with him afterwards. And, you know, it was just good. It was great for us. It was good for God's Spirit to move among us. But it was also, it was great for him. Building faith. Building trust. Building confidence of being in God's will and to be used to the Master. The service was a good service, and I had to pick on Marvin a little bit this morning because he was rushing out to see the beginning of the race. Gay was getting ready. Everybody go see the big race. And just so happened that race that was supposed to begin, I believe it was 12:30 or 1 o'clock on Friday, and finished up about 1 o'clock Tuesday morning, wasn't it? Was it 1 a.m. Tuesday morning? Was that right? 1:15, about 1:15 Tuesday morning. That's a long race. I'm not going to preach that long. And I love people who are fans of something they enjoy. I was fortunate enough when I was young to have an opportunity to play sports. I think it's a wonderful thing for young people. I think it's a wonderful thing for children, sending the office. Her children all are involved in soccer and swimming and basketball. And somebody came in, and when you look at her schedule, you can see where she just races around all the time for this practice, that practice. They've got to meet here, you know, just da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And her calendar is just bound up with the different responsibilities going. But she says, you know, I think it's worth it because I would much rather have my children involved in sports and learning sportsmanship and learning how to play well with others than simply doing this. And hopefully you know what I'm talking about. I'm a fan of sports. Simply enjoy them, and I enjoy you learn so many things, not just from the winning, but you learn an awful lot from how you take the losing in sports. But today what I'm going to do is we're going to get started in a subject, and I'm reading a book, and the title of that book is Not a Fan. The title is Not a Fan. In the subject of the book, it talks about being a follower of Jesus. And basically the premise and the theme is whether you're going to be a fan or you're going to be a follower. And I want to read in Scripture from the 14th chapter in the book of Luke. And this is one of those great chapters in the Bible. It's a chapter that talks about the parable of the Great Supper where, and you know the story about the man who put on a wonderful feast, invited so many, and each one that he invited, they all had excuses. So he says, I tell you what, I want this table to be filled. And he goes out and he says, bring in the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And the servants came back and said, still there are some seats that are empty. He says, well, go everywhere, go into every highway, byway, so that my house may be filled. My house may be filled. And after that parable of teaching, I'm going to start reading in the 25th verse, which is a little different. I want to paint you a picture of Jesus and his teaching. And I think a lot of people have it wrong in their mindset when they think about Jesus and how he taught and how he preached and how he shared God's love with folks. A lot of people think that when those multitudes gathered that it was all quiet and, well, he had church and they all walked in and they were very quiet and sat down. I don't believe that at all. Can you imagine during that day and time of a crowd of 2, 3, 4, 5,000 people at one time, all the chaos that had to be there? We read in our scripture how that he instructed those servants of him to try to bring some organization to the crowd so they could better hear. And I think when they gathered together, it was a pretty much a party time atmosphere. And the scripture that I'm going to read you, it kind of sets a different tone, because if I was one of the orchestrators of this event that he was preaching, if I'd have had a part in it and setting it up and all like that, I would have done it different than what Jesus did. The people had started to follow Christ. Why? Miracles. This was a man who made the lame to walk again. This is a guy that showed up at a funeral and changed it into a family reunion. This old boy was different than anything else they'd ever heard of or seen before. And people wanted to see, they wanted to go, they wanted to get a glimpse of. And when all the crowd was there, it would have been a great opportunity for Jesus to just boom. But he didn't do that. I'm going to read to you what Jesus said. In the 25th verse of Luke, the 14th chapter. Now great multitudes went with him. And he turned and he said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Heavenly Father, I had a special blessing on the reading of your word today. Amen. We're just going to get into this lesson, but for the last 2 weeks I've been reading, I've been praying about it, I've been having this section of Scripture deal with me. It's not a section of Scripture that I like. I'll be honest with you. It's not something that I like. It's not something I want to preach on. Bless them, Lord, wherever the need may be. Because it throws out a question that goes against a lot of things that I believe in. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yet his own life, he cannot be my disciple. These are the words of Jesus, not of me. If I had built up and we had that great thousands and multitudes and all ready for Jesus to come out and preach, I would set it up totally different. Totally different. I'd say, boy, when they come in, they're all going to be excited. People are going to be talking. About like we are on Sunday morning here at Mount Calvary. We try to start the service, and what? People are just talking, and they're sharing. In the middle, everybody's checking. Oh, we haven't seen John in a while. We got to go see John before we sit. Oh, we haven't. You know, all that stuff is going. There's excitement in the air. And I love that. I think that's the way you ought to start a service. Then I would come out and say, get ready. Jesus is, you know, he's preparing to speak over here. I would have played to the crowd. I would have said, you know, it's going to be, come back tonight. We're going to have, it'll be like a carnival. You know, everybody's kid ever go to the carnival? Come on, I used to love to go to the carnival. I'll tell you one thing. That little dollar or two I had was given to me in my hand. I made it. I stretched it out. I stretched it out every penny I could because I love to go to the carnival. And I'd say, you know, Jesus is going to speak and it's going to be exciting. Bring all the guests that you can. We're going to have all the loaves and fishes you can eat. We're going to have a water to wine booth over here. We're going to have all that, you know. It's in the Bible. That's what we're going to have. We're going to have exciting things. We're going to have a big party tonight. Let's see, the one that brings the most. We're going to have a free miracle gift. We're going to have all these things to bring excitement about for all of you that are come and showing up to hear Jesus. And then Jesus would have walked out, and the first thing he would have said is, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yet his own life, he cannot be my disciple. I would sit there and go, what? What? That's not how we build the crowd. Anybody with me on this? That's not how you make it so appealing. But I guess the master was a little more concerned about commitment than he was about the size of the crowd. Because I will tell you one thing. In your dealings with Jesus Christ as personal Savior, Lord and Master, there will be decisions to be made. There'll be times where Jesus and the Holy Spirit within your life is going to draw a line in the sand and say, what are you going to do? What's going to be your choice? All the people had gathered, the great multitudes, everybody excited. And then Jesus comes out and says, you must hate your father, your mother. Now, hate, and we look at the definition of it, is to highly dislike or disdain something. So we know it doesn't make sense that God's Word would tell us to honor thy father and mother, and then at the same time, Jesus would stand up and says that you have to hate your father and mother. It doesn't make sense. So what's he talking? What's he saying? And I know people in the crowd, and I've read different little explanations of this, and it says, well, he was talking about those who were simply going to be his full-time servants. And in other words, today, full-time ministers and preachers, and that's what he's talking about. And the problem I have with that, down in verse 26, it says, if anyone. It says in God's Word, if anyone. That pretty much covers all of us, doesn't it? I don't like that. I wanted to hear it and kind of exclude myself. It says, if anyone. And the people had a hard time understanding what he was trying to say. You must hate your father, mother, brother, sisters, even your own life if you are going to be my disciple. And I believe it lends itself to us asking the question, where do we stand with Jesus in our lives? Are we fans of His, or are we followers? Are we followers? So what I'm going to try to do in the next few weeks, I'm going to try to paint you a picture of fans versus followers. I believe that totally, and I've got a couple different translations I want to read for you, that'll hopefully kind of shed light on what he's trying to say here when he uses this word hate. In the New Living Translation, that same verse reads, "If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison." I like that. In the contemporary English version, it simply has a phrase that it uses, three words, talking to each one of us. It says, "You must love me more than you do anyone else." You know, you think about it like in a race, and we're getting ready to go around, and this summer we have the Olympics, and everybody watching, love to watch them. And they'll have the sprints going on, and the runners will begin in the starting blocks. You know what I'm talking about? And you think about this race where you have different ones competing, and you know there's going to be Jesus in this one, and your father, mother, the things that your spouse over here, different ones, your kids, and they're all going to run this race. And basically, Jesus is not saying that he doesn't want to be first. He's saying that he wants to be the only one in the race. Everyone else comes afterwards. This is a scripture that will make you think inside, will make your heart kind of move a little bit, make you scratch your head, make you look in, make you evaluate things. Most of the time around Mount Calvary here, we keep it light, and I enjoy it, and we'll kid with you, we'll joke with you, we'll laugh with you, we'll carry on with you, and then sometimes we just got to kind of look inside of our own hearts. Next week I'm going to ask you four questions. I've got them written down already. Four questions I'm going to ask you are going to be this: to try to evaluate how we feel in our lives and about our commitment to Christ and what the cost there may be. I'm going to ask you, where do you place your treasure? I'm going to ask you, when you are hurting, where do you go when you need comfort? I'm going to ask you what frustrates you the most. And then I'm going to ask you what excites you the most. I'll finish by just talking about one of the questions. When you're hurting, where do you go? And there was a little boy who had just changed classes in school, and he was all excited, new teacher, and everything was new teacher this, and my new teacher says that. He'd go home, my new teacher's this, my new teacher's that. And his mother started to get a little jealous of the new teacher and all the attention and excitement and all like that. And as she went to pick him up, he was playing outside, and the new teacher was standing outside, and he was playing on the swings, and he fell. And then he started to get up and dust himself off, and the tears were in his eyes, and he started to run. He ran right past the new teacher to the arms of his mother. Where do you go when you're hurting? Where do you go when you need comfort? Where do you go when things just don't seem to add up? We're going to go to Jesus. we're going to find within Him something beautiful. We're going to find with Him something that will stand every emotion, every feeling that we will experience. We're going to find in Him a Savior who loves us, loves us, loves us. Well, here in just a moment, we're going to tell Him that we love Him. We have an open communion. We take this small wafer representing the body broken, this small cup of juice representing the blood that was shed.